And good morning again. We are still in Mark, continuing our journey through Mark together. Mark 10, 17 through 31 is where we'll be today. Mark 10, 17 through 31. What is your favorite thing to eat? You got it in your head? It's cauliflower, broccoli. All the other good stuff, right? That's your favorite things to eat. Next question. Your favorite thing to eat in your head, is it good for you? I've seen a lot of head shakes. I won't tell you which direction they are shaking. It's probably not good for you. That's why it is your favorite. What is it? This time of year, Reese's? Candy bars, whatever it is. What would it take to make you give up this thing? What would it take? Weight gain? Clothes don't fit?
They're out of them.
They're out of them? That's the only way. You've already ate them all. That's the only way you can give it up. Health issues? Heart attack, near-death experience, what would it take? Not just your favorite thing to eat, maybe it's something you do, maybe it's some place you go. What would it take for you to give it up? Our text today will focus in on a man and his interaction with Jesus. And we will see that even eternity in heaven was not enough for this man to give up his favorite thing. We will also see that every one of us is called to have Jesus as our priority. And we may have things that we need to give up for this to be the case. We will look at it in three parts. Rich man learns a hard lesson. Disciples learn a hard truth. And Peter gets something right. About time. Mark 10, 17 through 31. Please stand to read God's word. Mark 10, verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now and in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together, and we ask that you write our minds and our hearts for what this passage has for us today. Father, let us see it as more than just mere words on a page, but actual instructions from you for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so last week we saw Jesus blessed the children that the parents in the area were bringing to him. We said that we should be bringing our children to God, and always in the church and in the home and everywhere in between. Amen. We should be making time and taking opportunities to draw in closer to God as a family. We also said to have real faith and not just something we claim, then we must come to Jesus fully dependent on him, just like a small child is dependent on their parents. This week, Jesus is preparing to continue his journey across this land that eventually brings him to the cross. At this time, he crosses paths with this rich young man. Everyone knows this story, and we will begin by looking at a hard lesson learned. Rich man learns a hard lesson. This is a story we know. We know it because we always point to it. Every time we talk about the love of money, we say, see, this is where it gets you. We will get there. But let's see what else this passage has for us. First, let's look at what this man actually gets right, because there are some things he gets right. First, he runs to Jesus. He has a question, and he goes to the right person for the answer. He also asked the right question. What is his question? How do I get to heaven? This is essentially it. And it is the right question for everyone who has ever walked on this planet. There is a heaven and a hell, and we want to know how to not go to hell. He sees a teacher of the laws, and he sees this teacher has a great following, and there are even Messiah rumors. So this young man runs up to Jesus and says, tell me what to do. We also find out that this young man has kept the commandments. So there are many things in his life going right for him. He has the correct answers to many of life's questions. So what goes wrong? Well, first he calls Jesus good teacher. We may think, well, what could be wrong with that? Jesus says only God is good, and he is God, so what's the big deal? The problem is, he does not know Jesus as God. He knows Jesus as a teacher. He considers those over the law to be good, and he considers himself to be good. This is where many of us go wrong. We consider what we have said and what we have done to be good. In a worldly sense, this would be the case for many things that many of us have done. However, we are talking about the things of God, and we are talking about the Son of God. Jesus here confirms that only God is good. Our society does not understand this. We do not understand the fact that we are not good. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Paul here says that no one is good in the eyes of God because all have sinned and fallen short of God. This is where we get it wrong. It is in the eyes of God that our goodness is judged, and not by comparing ourselves to one another. Just because your sins are more culturally acceptable than those of someone else does not mean they are acceptable to God. They are not. Nothing short of perfection is acceptable to God. He is perfect in all ways, and nothing else can be in His presence. This is why the Son had to be sent. This is why Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. There was a price to be paid that only God could pay. Only God could be the ultimate good that we needed. So Jesus tells this man that no one is good. But the conversation does not end there. This man seemingly has a checklist of sorts to point to and argue that he is indeed good. On this checklist are the commandments. Jesus, you say no one is good, but look at my list. Look at the things that I have done. This is where this man is coming from. He obviously knows the customs and the laws and is looking for confirmation of what he already believes, and that is that the kingdom of God is already his inheritance. This is his other error. Not only does he believe himself to be good, the reason for being good is because of his own efforts. He is good and the kingdom is his because he has earned it. We know this is also not the case. Scripture says no one is good, and it says no one can earn salvation. Amen. We saw last week that salvation was indeed a gift from God so that no one could boast. And now we look at Galatians 2, verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Paul says here that no matter how hard you try, you cannot earn it. Faith alone in Christ alone is the only way to the Father. This faith does lead to doing things for the kingdom, but these are never what saves you. James told us that it is actually sin to see what is right and not do it. Amen. But that is because faith alone in Christ alone changes you. You will never be the same after you encounter Jesus. This leads us to the hard truth for this rich young man. He has now encountered Christ and he has laid out what he believed to be the solution to heaven. He answers the question and Jesus loves him for it, but then points out one thing. One thing that holds this man back. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. This scares us a little bit, right? What would our response be to this statement from the Son of God? We all have many good things in this life. House, car, career, family, and many other things. What if Jesus said this to you? Everyone take a moment to relax. Jesus is not calling you to leave everything in this statement. Though he does call us throughout Scripture to make him the priority. You see, his riches was his issue. But this is not the main point Jesus is making here. Look at the commandments that he has asked if he kept. There's a list there. There's a rather important one missing. Thou shalt not have no other God before me. What Jesus is doing here is putting his finger on the thing in this man's life that is more important to him than God. That is what is happening here. He looks at him and loves him and then says, your God is your possessions. Your God is the things you have accumulated in this life, and I can prove it. Leave it all, and you will have your treasure. You will have what you came to me looking for. This man couldn't do it. He's standing before the Son of God and walks away. Look at the words. He calls Jesus good because his possessions great. He could not make Jesus his priority. Imagine you see a child with a sucker. It is their favorite flavor. It's the one candy they ask for more than anything else, and they are enjoying it. Parents can tell when kids are enjoying suckers. It's on their hands and their face and in their hair and everywhere else. Now you ask for the sucker. They just hand it over, right? Nope. You tell them you have something better for them. You're not getting that sucker. Maybe if you have a bigger sucker. They have what they want, so why would they go for anything else? This is what is happening in this text. This man comes to Jesus with the world at his fingertips. He can have anything he wants, anytime he wants it, and has been called good by many. Jesus tells this man that no one is good, but he can get there. He can have what he says he has come to find, and he only needs to push aside what he has for something better. He can't do it. Nothing will ever look better to him than his Son. He wants nothing else. Our question is this: what in our lives do we hold as better than faith in Christ? What is it? It doesn't have to be money, and it does not have to be stuff, though many times it is. Is it TV? That show may be the best thing you have ever watched, but it may also be keeping you from growing in your faith. Just think about your Bible time versus your TV time. Maybe it is your children. Whoa, don't talk about the kids. They should be very important in your life, but they are not to be worshipped. They are not your God. If their schedule keeps you from church or worship or prayer, then something is off. If sports are now the worship events on Sundays, something is off. If you're not in church because kids cannot make it through a service, then something is off. Money, TV, family, recreation, and whatever is on your mind right now. There are things that lead us to the same position as this young man in our story today. The result was that he walked away from Jesus. What will be the result in your life? For your faith to be secure, it must be first. God must be first. We will see that this conversation has an effect on the disciples as well. The disciples learn a hard truth. We've looked at the disciples repeatedly throughout our study, and it is as this group of normal, sinful human beings that have been called by Jesus to something more. We've seen their struggles on every page. This story is no different. They are amazed and confused by what Jesus says next. He even has to repeat it to give an example for them to understand. This is great because we need help to understand too. What does he say? How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples' response is basically, say what? Why were they amazed? It is because they have possessions too. They have stuff in their life. They were probably thinking the same thing every one of us is thinking right now. Uh-oh, we're in in trouble. I'm not giving up my house. I'm not giving up my family. Jesus repeats himself again and even gives them an illustration, which is the camel and the eye of the needle. This would have been their largest animal walking through their smallest object. Everyone hearing this would have understood this concept to be impossible. He then says that it is impossible. Impossible to man. Now, while the rich young man learned that he didn't really have a place in his life for Jesus, the disciples are learning something different here. It's the same thing they've been learning during his entire ministry. They need Jesus for everything they do, and so do we. Jesus basically says, go ahead and try to get this faith thing right on your own, but it isn't going to work well for you. Just like shoving that camel through that needle, you are going to fail. Faith in me by your own efforts is impossible. Not so comforting, right? He does not leave us there, however. What does he say next? Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing. Do we get this? We need God in every aspect of our life. Let's look at what I mean when I say this, because it is not as simple as claiming the name of Jesus while doing whatever you want. Jesus is not a stamp to place on top of everything you do in this life, but rather he is the whole reason you have this life. Let's look at John briefly. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is why Jesus is not just a stamp on your life, but actually has supplied your very life. He is the very Word of God who has always existed, and everything was made through him. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John tells us that the very reason we exist also came to earth as a man. But why? Because not only did we need a creator and a sustainer, we needed a Savior. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We are all here because of the Creator and the Sustainer, and we have a hope of eternity in heaven, not because we are perfect. We are all sinners, but anyone who believes in Jesus Christ are sinners saved by the Son. This is why we need the Son of God in everything we do. This is why Jesus says it is impossible to be saved apart from God. We cannot earn it, and we don't have to. The cross says your sins were paid for, and the empty tomb says it was God that paid it for you. Sometimes we make it through this life on our own two feet, and sometimes we are being dragged. But making it is always because of God. Look to those around you and tell them that it is going to be okay because they are not alone. Jesus is with them, and he can make the camel fit. What seems impossible to us is possible to God, so do not give up hope. Peter has realized this. And next we'll see that he gets something right. Peter gets something right. It's about time Peter lands on his feet. So there's one more thing we're looking at here. Peter steps up after this encounter and says something, and Jesus agrees with him. No foot in his mouth this time. He says, "We have left things for you," and Jesus does not rebuke him. "They have done well." However, there are a few things to point out in Jesus' response. The first is that he does say, "Those who have made him and his gospel a priority will be rewarded." Rewarded in this life and in the life to come. What does this mean? It does not mean faith is prosperity. It never means this. Jesus delivers prosperity as a false gospel from Satan himself. What it does mean is that you have the promise of heaven and you will have blessings on earth. It is on us if we equate blessings with only health and wealth. How about food and family and contentment? How about sufferings that lead to more faith and more joy and the gospel being proclaimed? Many blessings come from sufferings and not from a perfect life. The next thing to see in this section, among the blessings, is a phrase, "with persecution." Even while telling Peter that he is correct, he works in the fact that it will not be easy. You will see persecution as a Christian. It might be small things in your career, in your family life, and it might be larger things in the world around us. The point is not how big or how small. The point is that persecution is a promise. If our faith has not led to some form of difficulty in your relationships or in your daily lives, then maybe we are not living out our faith like we think. Following Christ means the world will not see you in the same way that it once did. Finally, we have first will be last. We have this comment again. We've seen this before and said that it meant the persecuted and the meek will be the ones that inherit the kingdom and not those who are first by worldly standards. I think here it is serving as kind of a reality check to Peter. Jesus says, "Yes, you guys have done well in following me, but it is not a badge of honor to be showed off. Be careful that your pride does not block your path to me. Be humble and remember the first will indeed be last." As we wrap up today, I think we can look back and see the rich young man's issue. He claimed to follow the God of the Bible while actually his riches and his possessions were his true God. We said many things can be important in our lives, but the most important thing must be our faith in Jesus. We said only God is good and our faith in Him is the only way to heaven. We also saw the disciples continuing to learn from the Son of God. Today the lesson was that true faith and eternal life in heaven is impossible without God. Jesus Christ is the creator and the sustainer and the savior that everyone in this world needs. We also saw that Peter got something right and Jesus says, though persecution will be had for your faith on earth, heaven is your eternal reward. Now we focused in on faith and possessions and the cost of discipleship in this text, but there is a sense of calling to something bigger than ourselves here too. The rich young man was searching for something more, but he had too much faith in himself to find it. And the disciples have found something more. They have. They have Jesus. It could be some service to your church. It could be some ministry. It could be some missions project or missionary journey. The text was clear in saying that our priority should be Jesus and you should be going wherever He is leading. Now this is scary, I know. We left everything a few years ago as a family to start something new. And this calling by God has led us as a family back to you and to this place. Making Jesus your priority will be scary, but it will also be rewarding. I want to end with a story. It's a story about a one-way missionary. You guys have probably heard of these guys before. They were called this because their destinations meant they were likely to never return. One-way missionaries. One missionary in particular went to a tribe of headhunters. Every missionary to this place before this man was met with hostility and was met with death. This man found himself called to this place and went anyway. Facing certain death, he arrived with the gospel and was buried there. However, he spent 35 years sharing the gospel with them. 35 years. When they buried him, his tombstone read this: "When he came, there was no light, and when he left, there was no darkness." When he came, there was no light, and when he left, there was no darkness. This is what happens when you follow Jesus. The impossible is made possible by God. You are not a one-way missionary, but everywhere you go, you should carry the light of the gospel with you. Now, if you need to pray for your faith, now is the time to do it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is only one way to the Father, and it is through Him. Repent of your sins and turn to Jesus. If you need to pray for some calling, whether it be a ministry here at church or anything else on your heart, bring it to God as we sing. And remember, we have many good things in this life, but faith in Jesus is what we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together today. Help it not to be lost upon us that there are many other places across this planet that do not have this time together and do not have your holy word. And Father, now as we prepare ourselves to leave and go about our days and our week, Father, just help us to stay in your word and remember your words. Help us carry them on our hearts and carry them as if we're changed by them. The people around us should see it. And the people around us should hear it. And Father, help us to have the courage and strength to walk away from this place today with the promise of eternity to heaven in our hearts and a grasp on our mission.